بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالمين. إن شاء الله tonight I'm going to be talking about how to get the best out of the month of Ramadan and how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember yesterday in the khutbah, what was the topic?
The worst.
How to ruin your Ramadan, how to waste your Ramadan. So tonight, inshallah, we're doing the opposite. Tonight, I'm going to talk briefly about this particular topic. And the reason I'm going to talk briefly, for two reasons. The first one, we're a little bit late, and inshallah, I apologize for this, and it won't happen again. We should start on time. And the second thing, my wife told me a few minutes ago that she was having a lot of contractions, and we should head right after the lecture to the hospital to deliver the baby. So I'll keep my word. So we need to understand the meaning of fasting. So this, in my opinion, is the best definition of fasting I have come across. Fasting is defined as abstaining from food, drinks, intimate relationships with one spouse from dawn to sunset, and other things that diminish or detract from the reward of fasting, doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The types of fasting, and we touched on this yesterday in the khutbah, and we said that the first type of fasting, and this is what most people do. They don't eat, they don't drink, they don't have a relationship with their wife or husband from dawn to sunset. This is what 98% of the people do. A higher level of fasting, a better form of fasting, is also when your body fasts with you. So your tongue fasts, you don't lie, you don't cheat. Your eyes fast, so you don't look at the haram. Your ears fast, so you don't listen to the haram, or what is prohibited in Islam. Your feet or your legs fast, so you don't walk to the haram. And so on and so forth. So this is a better form of fasting. Number three, the highest form of fasting in Islam, if your heart fasts. So everything that you do in this month, you do purely for the sake of Allah. When you give a charity, you don't give it so people say, oh, this guy is very generous, okay? When you come to the masjid to pray, you do it only for the sake of Allah, so people don't say, oh, this guy comes to the masjid all the time. They should fire the imam and they should hire this guy. No, you should do everything purely for the sake of Allah. Your heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. And as I mentioned today, yesterday in the khutbah, some people ruin their fast by doing the opposite of everything I mentioned. If people think that fasting is all about not eating and not drinking, then Camel is a better faster than you. I'm not talking about faster in terms of the speed, no, in terms of fasting. A camel, as you probably know, can go for 3 months without food or drink. So if fasting is all about food and drink, then camels are better fasters than you. Some people, they waste their time at night playing cards, watching movies and doing stuff, and they sleep all day long. They become more or less like an owl. This is what an owl does. It wakes up all night, plays all day. No, actually it does the opposite. It plays all night, it sleeps all day. If fasting is all about eating and sleeping, then a bear is a better faster than you, right? Because it eats for 6 months and it hibernates for 6 months. And this is what many Muslims do. They eat all night, they sleep all day, like bears, right? So they basically hibernate. This is not fasting. Why do we fast? Number one, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, I remember when we were young, they were telling us in school, they were miseducating us, telling you the truth. They were telling us that the reason we are fasting is because we will get the feeling of the poor people, the homeless people. They don't eat anytime they want to. So when we fast, we have the same feeling the poor people have. So when I grew up a little bit older, I used to question this reasoning. I said, okay, if we fast only to feel how poor people feel, then why are poor people fasting in Ramadan, right? It should be only for rich people, like Nabil Nashman and I and all those guys. No, this is not the reason. This is not the main reason. The main reason in Islam, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something, do this or don't do this, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says do this or don't do this, this is what we stick to. This is the reason in Islam. Anything else, any wisdom behind why you do something, why you don't, comes next. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Let those who witness the month of Ramadan, let them fast. So this is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Number two, fasting generates righteousness and piety in your heart. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those who came before you, so that you will achieve taqwa or piety. And piety, as the Prophet ﷺ says, is in the heart. Speaking of taqwa, all the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, in chapter 2, that talk about different acts of worship, they always conclude with the word taqwa. The main reason you pray is achieve taqwa, piety. The main reason you fast is to achieve taqwa. The main reason you make Hajj and Umrah is to achieve taqwa. The main reason you give charity is to achieve taqwa. For example, in chapter 177, it says that the reason you pray and you give zakat is to achieve taqwa. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ وَأَتِمُّوا الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الْحَجُّ أَشْهُرٌ مَعْلُومَاتٌ وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ. So always in chapter 2, the verses that talk about different acts of worship, it always says that the reason you are doing these acts is taqwa, to achieve or to attain righteousness and piety. The third reason why we fast is following the example of the Prophet ﷺ. In Islam, we don't make up acts of worship. If you do something that is different from the practice of the Prophet ﷺ, you don't get any rewards. So for example, the Prophet ﷺ prayed Maghrib 3 rak'ahs. If you pray 7 rak'ahs, what do you get? Zero. But you prayed more than the Prophet ﷺ, you get zero reward. The Prophet ﷺ circled the Kaaba in Umrah and in Hajj 7 times. So if you circle it 17 times, how many rewards you get? Zero. You have to stick to the exact number that the Prophet ﷺ did. And also, when we Muslims fast, we are in actuality walking in the footsteps of the previous prophets. It says, for example, in the Bible and also in the Quran, that Moses fasted for 40 days. The same way that Muslims fast. During the day, he ate during the night. Isa, or Jesus, he did the same thing for 40 days. He fasted during the day and he ate at night. Dawood alayhi salam, David, he fasted during the day, he ate at night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so on and so forth. So the prophets, for example, as some people do, they didn't avoid certain foods when they fasted. Like some people, they avoid certain foods. Okay, this year I'm gonna fast, I'm not gonna eat cakes during the day, or I'm not gonna eat fish, but they can't eat anything else. And tell you the truth, it would have been an easy fast for us if you fast for 17 hours, but again, we stick to what the Prophet ﷺ did to get the reward. Number four, the reason we fast is to get all your sins washed away. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Those who fast in Ramadan, hoping to get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they fast, believing that fasting is an obligation on them, they will get all their previous sins forgiven. And I gave the example in the khutbah, imagine if you owe someone $200,000, and this person tells you, if you fast or if you work 30 days for me, all your past debts are forgiven. Will you ever say no? And if your boss tells you that if you work a couple of hours for me, I'm gonna give you the salary for 83 years. And this is just like Laylatul Qadr. This is the analogy of Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, this night, at the end, close to the end of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the reward for worshiping in this night is better than 1,000 months of worship. That is 83 years of worship. خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. So worshiping for 2 hours at the night of Laylatul Qadr is better than the whole years that Brother Abu al-Abd, for example, has lived. He is 83 years old. So praying or worshiping at the night of Al-Qadr is better than all the worship of Abu al-Abd in 83 years. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. And some people say, no, thank you. Hoping to be protected from the punishment for not fasting. The Prophet ﷺ says in an authentic hadith that if someone does not fast, he or she does not fast for no legitimate reason. We know that in Islam some people don't have to fast because they are traveling or they are sick or a lady is pregnant or she is delivering a baby. They don't have to fast. But if someone is as tall as a wall and as healthy as a horse, and they don't fast, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, even if they fast the whole year to make up for this day, it will not be accepted of them. Because there was no excuse. However, this is just a warning from the Prophet ﷺ. Otherwise, if someone broke the fast for no reason, then they repented and they came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they mend their ways, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. As Allah says in Surah Az-Zumr, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, O my servants, who have exceeded the limits in disobeying Allah, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgives all sins. Indeed, He is the most forgiving, most merciful. So what makes Ramadan very special? We're going to have fun in a minute, inshallah, so don't fall asleep. Number one, what makes it easy is, number one, the shaitan is chained in this month. As we're told in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the devil, the shaitan, is chained in this month. Some of the scholars say that the words of the Prophet ﷺ are taken literally in this hadith, but some scholars like Imam al-Qurtubi, for example, they said no. It's a figure of speech. The Prophet ﷺ is talking metaphorically, which means, as al-Qurtubi, for example, says, that each and every one of us can tie or release his or her shaitan. Because technically, if the shayateen or the devils are chained in Ramadan, how come that some people kill and steal and lie and all do all the haram, right? If the shayateen are chained, how come that all this evil is done during Ramadan, right? A lot of crimes are committed in Ramadan. So it is you who chains or releases your shaitan. So if you fast the right way, then your shaitan is detained in prison, like this guy. But if you don't fast the right way, your shaitan is all over the place. So it is up to you. Ramadan is the month of the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ always, as mentioned in the hadith, he always reviewed the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salam once. But when it was the last year, in the last year that the Prophet ﷺ died, he reviewed the Quran twice with Jibreel alayhi salam. And we are told in the Quran شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. We're also told in the hadith, authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that Ramadan, the fasting of Ramadan and the recitation of the Quran will come and make shafa'ah, intercession for you on the day of judgment, and the intercession will be accepted. We know that only 18% of Muslims are Arab, right? Only 18% of Muslims, they can read the Quran in Arabic. But what about the great, great, great majority of Muslims who don't know how to read the Quran in English? How can I get the reward in Ramadan for reciting the Quran, although I don't know how to recite, right? There are several options. Number one, if you are not able to recite the Quran, because Arabic is not your native tongue, then you can listen to the recitation. And in this case, you will get the full reward for listening as if you recited yourself. Which is even better is to listen to the recitation of the Quran in Arabic, followed by an English translation, for example, or Somali translation, right? To get the reward. If you try to recite in Arabic, although it's hard on you, then the Prophet ﷺ says that those who recite the Quran fast, like myself, they will get one reward. But if you push yourself a little bit harder, you try to recite in English, in Arabic, although it is hard, you get two rewards. One for reciting and one for the effort. So me and somebody who doesn't know the Arabic language would be reciting the same page, and he or she would get two rewards. For every letter they recite, I get one reward. And this is fair enough. So again, if you are not able to read in Arabic, you can listen to the Arabic followed by the English translation. Or, some even said, if you just read the English translation, just the English translation in Ramadan, inshallah, you will get the reward for reciting. Because as you know, in Islam, you don't get the reward for the act of worship per se, but you get the reward for doing your best. Even if your best is not good enough, you still get the full reward. Ramadan is the month of patience. And the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, when you are fasting, if someone tries to pick on you or start a fight with you, don't fall for the trick and tell them, I'm fasting. And I remember back home, some of the guys I used to hang out with, they used to follow this hadith, but they followed it in the wrong way. And if someone is trying to pick on you, okay, and you tell them, okay, I'm fasting, this means I'm not going to lose the reward for my fasting by fighting with you. But these guys were telling, you know, were saying like this, I'm fasting, like get off my face, I'm going to punch you in the face. They do it the wrong way. We are in a continuous fight with our lower desires and self and desires all year long. But in Ramadan, and this is what makes Ramadan very special, now you are in control of your desires, okay? At Fajr, when the adhan is made, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you stop eating and drinking. Again, when the adhan is made for Maghrib, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, on. Then Fajr, off, on and off, on and off. So now you are in control of your body, you are in control of your desires. But before Ramadan, your body in actuality is in full control. Okay, when you are hungry, you just walk like this to the fridge. Even in your sleep, you have no control over your body, right? Yeah, it's funny, because I remember this brother, Muhammad. Yeah, I shouldn't mention his name. He's like, he is that high. You see that thing? He is that high. So he came to me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, Brother Mustafa, he's very high. So I usually ask him to sit down if he wants to ask me a question, so I can hear him. So I said, what do you want? But he has a very big heart. So he said, 2 weeks ago, he was fasting in Ramadan, an optional fasting, to get ready for Ramadan. Then he went home. Supposedly, there was no one in the house. He forgot completely that he was fasting. So he literally, يعني دمر التلاجة. خدها رف by رف, shelf by shelf. He devoured everything in the fridge, shelf by shelf. So after 2 hours, okay, I remember, now I'm fasting. So he came to me and said, is my fasting valid? So I said, the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, if you eat or drink by mistake, you should continue your fast, because Allah is the one who is giving you to eat and drink. And Allah is generous. Now we have a full fridge. Now you should be controlled. And this actually happens the first 2 days of Ramadan. You're not, you know, yet familiar with the fast, so sometimes you forget. Ramadan is the month of generosity. We are recommended to give in charity in the month of Ramadan. We are also recommended to feed poor people in the month of Ramadan, to give them food and to give them money. It says in the authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ was very generous all year long, but he was exceptionally generous in the month of Ramadan. I remember reading one time in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ got a gift, a coat, abaya, and he went to the masjid to pray in this abaya. He didn't have fancy clothes, and that was probably the best piece of clothes he got. A lady made it specially for him. So he went to the masjid to pray. So one sahabi saw it, and he said, oh, Prophet of Allah, that's a very nice coat. Can I get it? Give it to me. So the Prophet ﷺ took it off, and he gave it to him. The other companions, after the Prophet ﷺ came to the sahabi, وقال يعني استحى على ذنبك. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما عندوش عباية. ده العباية الوحيدة اللي عنده. شكلها كويس. يعني احترم نفسك وسيب له. أنت عارف أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سئل شيء أعطاه. So they criticized the brother. They said that this is the best coat or overcoat that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had. Why did you take it from him? And you know that whenever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is asked to give out something, he would just give it right away. He wouldn't think twice. He said, Wallahi, I didn't take it to wear it. I took it, so when I die, I will ask my family to shroud me in this coat, so it will be with me in the grave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me Jannah by the barakah of the coat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it touched his body. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very generous throughout the year, especially in the month of Ramadan. There is another person, يعني يسمونه مضحك الرسول. اسمه النعيمان. مضحك الرسول. He used to make the Prophet ﷺ laugh all the time. He used to crack jokes and do situations to make the Prophet laugh. And I remember coming across the hadith that says that An-Nu'ayman on the day of judgment will be raised laughing. The Prophet ﷺ said that this guy will be laughing on the day of judgment because he used to make me laugh all the time. And I think this is something good. So he used to, according to authentic hadith, this person, An-Nu'ayman, whenever he saw a peddler selling stuff on the street, he would go to the guy, the peddler, and buy stuff from him, food. He would take it to the Prophet ﷺ and say, hey, this is a gift. And he would give to the Sahaba, and all of them would eat. Then the guy would come running, the peddler, asking for his money. So the Nu'ayman would tell the Prophet ﷺ, okay, pay him, you ate. But the Prophet ﷺ would say, but you told me it was a gift. He said, yes, I said it's a gift, but I never said I paid for it. It's a gift, but you paid for it. Because he knew that the Prophet ﷺ would pay. In other hadith, we're told that some people would come to the Prophet ﷺ and beg him for money, and he didn't have nothing in his pockets. He would borrow money from Sahaba to give to the person, and he would pay them back later, although he didn't have nothing in his pockets. So he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generous. Ramadan is the month of infinite rewards. We are told in the hadith that every good deed that you do, like salah, reciting Quran, giving zakah, you will get 10 rewards for every good deed, up to 700. But according to this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, except for fasting, Allah has never given us a specific reward for fasting, because the reward is left completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كل عمل ابن آدم له الحسنة بعشرة أمثالها إلى سبعمائة ضعف إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. So fasting is left completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same is also true for other acts of worship in Ramadan. So if you pray in Ramadan, if you pray dhuhr, this dhuhr will be multiplied 70 times. The reward will be 70 dhuhrs for you. 70 multiplied by 70. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, that the reward for a prayer, for example, or a fard, is multiplied by 70. And the reward for an optional act of worship, like Salatul Sunnah, for example, equals Salatul Fard. So if you do an act of worship that is optional, you will get the reward of an obligatory act of worship. Like if you pray two rak'ahs before dhuhr, you will get the reward of Salatul Dhuhr. That's a fard. If you do Umrah in Ramadan, it equals the reward of Hajj, as the Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith. Laylatul Qadr, if you work or you worship for a couple of hours, you get the reward of 1,000 months, over 1,000 months, that is 83 years. Another special reward on the Day of Judgment is the VIP treatment on the Day of Judgment. We are told in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, narrated by Sahl al-Sa'idi, and it is in Sahih al-Bukhari. إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ بَابًا يُقَالُ لَهُ الرَّيَّانِ يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ الصَّائِمُونَ وَلَا يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ غَيْرُهُمْ فَإِذَا دَخَلُوا أُغْلِقَ عَلَيْهِمْ فَلَمْ يَدْخُلْ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ سِوَاهُمْ. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us in this authentic hadith that there is a special door for the people who used to fast in this life. Let's call them the fasters, the sawmers. This door is exclusively for them. قاعت كبار الزوار في الجنة. مفيش حد تاني بيخش منها سواهم. It is just like in airports, they have a VIP gate. Not everyone can go. If I go there with my bag, they will just kick me out. Okay? This is only for ministers and presidents and all that stuff. The same is also true for the people who fast in this life, the right way. The right way, okay? So there is this special gate for them to go to Jannah through this particular door. So when all of them go through the door, when the last one of them has gone through this door, it will be closed, and everyone else will be told to go to another door. This is only for the people who fast. But what about the people who بيحششوا طول الليل صحيح وبيناموا طول النهار زي الدبة. Do you think they'll go through this door? هيدخلوا من باب الريان؟ لا طبعا. سمعت عن باب الحارة مسلسل سوري؟ هيخشوا من الدور ده باب الزواحف. So this door is not for them. Ramadan is the month of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His mercy on those who fast in this month. Ramadan is the month of i'tikaf. We know that you can make i'tikaf all year long. And when it comes to i'tikaf, I had two pieces of news. There's bad news and good news, okay? The bad news is, you are not allowed to make i'tikaf in the house. Some sisters think, I can make i'tikaf in the house. But this is not true. I'tikaf should only be made in the masjid. And i'tikaf can be made all year long, in and out throughout the year, but it is better to make i'tikaf in Ramadan, and it's even much better, the finest type of i'tikaf or retreat or seclusion in the masjid is the i'tikaf made in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, as the Prophet ﷺ did. The good news is, you can make i'tikaf in the masjid anytime. If you come to Salat al-Dhuhr, for example, and this is the opinion of the majority of the scholars, يعني جمهور الفقهاء, that i'tikaf has no minimum time. Which means, if you come to the masjid for Dhuhr prayer, for 10-15 minutes, you can have the intention of i'tikaf. Because the Prophet ﷺ never specified a time for i'tikaf. When you come to Salatul Isha, to pray Isha and Taraweeh, you can have three intentions. That you pray Isha in Jama'ah, and you will get the reward of standing half of the night in Salah, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the Hadith. And when you come back for Fajr, you will get the reward for standing the whole night in Qiyam, in prayer. Then you will get the reward for Salatul Taraweeh, and if you have the intention for i'tikaf during the time of Isha and Taraweeh, you will get the reward of i'tikaf. The Maliki school, they say that the minimum time for i'tikaf is one day, one night, but there's no proof for this opinion. The Prophet ﷺ never specified, so any time you come to the masjid, brothers and sisters, when you go through the door, make the intention of i'tikaf. And you will get the reward of salah, prayers, and i'tikaf. The last thing I'm going to mention about what is good about the month of Ramadan is that it motivates us to have unity among ourselves. Just like the rest of the different acts of worship in Islam, like salah, we are encouraged to pray together in congregation. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, young or old, black or white, it doesn't matter. We are all in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go for the Hajj, the pilgrimage, all the people, 4 to 5 million people will go for the Hajj in Mecca every year. Some of them are rich, some are poor, they come from all corners of the earth, black, brown, yellow, white, it doesn't matter. So, these different acts of worship teach us how to be united. Ramadan is the same thing. All of us, we stop, we observe the fasting at the same time. We start eating at the same time, at sunset. We worship the same direction, the same Qibla when we pray. We worship the same God. All Muslims have the same Quran. It's only one version. And so on and so forth. However, sometimes we do some things and it gets ugly in the month of Ramadan. And this contradicts the spirituality of the month of Ramadan. We shouldn't be doing these things. Number one, the Ramadan fights. The Ramadan fights. We have so many fights in Ramadan. I mentioned some of them in the khutbah yesterday. We have a huge fight 2 days before Ramadan on whether Ramadan is tomorrow or the day after. Okay? Should we follow the same sighting of the moon or every country has its own sighting? We have a big fight. At the end of the month, we have a bigger fight. Is the Eid tomorrow or the day after? And sometimes, I remember many years back, that the beginning and the ending of the Ramadan was sometimes politicized. يعني السياسة بتخش حتى في الموضوع. So I remember about 10 years ago, every time that Saudi Arabia said that Saturday is the beginning of Ramadan, Egypt always said that Sunday is the beginning of Ramadan. For some reason, I don't know why. Gaddafi would say that Wednesday is the beginning of Ramadan. So we have three beginnings. Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday. Who is this guy? La hawla. So, and between these two big fights, the beginning and ending of Ramadan, we have smaller fights all over the months. Is Taraweeh 8 rak'ahs or 20 rak'ahs? A big fight. Are we going to recite the whole Quran in Taraweeh or just a few surahs? A big fight. Who is going to lead the salah? A Somali imam or Egyptian imam? Big fight. And so on and so forth. And the imam standing like this in the masjid and people fighting all the time. Please, brothers and sisters, please don't bleed on the carpet. It's new. So he cares only about the carpet. Okay. Number two, mashallah, on the first 2 days of Ramadan, the people are very enthusiastic. They're all over the place. They're praying on the hallway, in the gym, in the front yard, backyard, in the street, on the window, on the roof, everywhere. And this is how it looks on the first day of Ramadan. People are praying in the streets. Then, for some reason, a few days later, and Ramadan is not over yet, it's the seventh day of Ramadan, the masjid is empty. The masjid is empty. And what the imams do, they put an ad in the paper, Matloob Musallin. We need somebody to pray in the masjid. Yeah, I'm gonna give you a joke, sweet joke. About, yeah. In one of those masajid, the masjid was big, but nobody was coming to pray in the masjid. So the imam basically said, he put an ad in the paper, Matloob Musallin, okay? So he said, anyone who comes to the salah will get $5. $5 for every prayer that you do in the masjid. So if you pray five times a day, you'll get $25. And this is good, right? So people came the first day, the masjid was packed. They were everywhere, like ants, everywhere, mashallah. And after the first prayer, they said, where is our money? He said, I didn't say in the ad that I'm gonna pay you after every prayer. I'm gonna pay you monthly. At the end of the month, come take your check. So at the end of the month, the guys came to him. They stood in lines outside the masjid. And they said, where is our money? He said, brothers, you know, it breaks my heart, but I gotta tell you that you have to pray for Allah to get the reward. If you pray for money, there's no reward from Allah. They said, we don't care, we need the money. Save the lecturing, okay? We don't need lecturing. He said, the bad news is I don't have no money. I'm broke. I was just motivating you to come to the salah. They said, we knew that you, Imam, are a liar. You are a liar, okay? And therefore, because we know that you are a liar, we always came to the salah with no wudu. Because we know that you will lie to us. You're a liar. Okay. As I said, some people think that Ramadan is all about food and drink. And subhanAllah, the sisters, they're not helping us in Ramadan. They make excellent food. They save the best for the best. Okay? So they make food all month long. Right after Fajr, they stand in the kitchen cooking all those different types of foods. Baris and pasta and qataif and baklava and biryani and all that stuff. So this is how we look at the beginning of the month, and this is how we look at the end of the month. What is this? It's very counterproductive. We're supposed to lose weight in Ramadan, right? But this is what happens. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us in the hadith that the worst bowl or a container that you can fill out with something is your stomach. Should you eat, then divide your stomach into three parts. One third for food, one third for water, and one third for breath. For breath. And I remember when we were young, this guy, he was a psycho zombie. He used to misread the hadith. He used to say, فَثُلُثٌ لِطَعَامِهِ وَثُلُثُ لِشَرَابِهِ وَثُلُثُ لِنَفْسِهِ المفروض لِنَفَسِهِ for his breath. He used to say, for himself. One third for food, one third for water, one third for himself, which means for food. No, it's for your breath. Okay. Yeah, this is the shaitan, by the way. Shaitan, and wallahi this happens, shaitan will always come to you once before the month begins, and he will come to you another visit after Ramadan. So Ramadan, the shaitan will come to you and say, Ta'ala an. So say for example, I'm the shaitan, I'm the devil. I'm playing the devil's advocate. No, come this way, man. So the shaitan will come to Amir before Ramadan and say, brother, you know I like you, right?
No, I don't
like you. I don't like you either. So the shaitan will come. Yeah, the shaitan will come and say, brother, bro, Ramadan is starting in a week, okay? So why don't you do all the evil things now, And when Ramadan comes in a week, inshallah, you're going to go to the masjid all the time. You'll be crying in the masjid, giving sadaqah, doing all that stuff. And Allah will forgive you. So whatever you do now, it will be forgiven in Ramadan. Okay? It happens. Then after Ramadan, the shaitan will come again. Bro, you know I like you, right? You had a good time in Ramadan. And you have a lot in your credit. A lot of good deeds. You have accumulated a lot of good deeds in Ramadan, right? So if you have all those millions of good deeds in your account, so it's not gonna really matter if you do a lot of evil deeds now, because you have a lot in your account. So this is what the shaitan does before Ramadan and after. Yeah, go, Ramadan is gone. And this is why, some people were asking, why did the Prophet ﷺ fast in Sha'ban before Ramadan, and why did he fast in Shawwal right after Ramadan, the 6 days? Why? Because of this. To get rid of the whispering in the shaitan, of the shaitan before Ramadan, right? Then he will fast in Ramadan, then after Ramadan he's also fasting, so the shaitan is not messing with him, right? This guy, he's a poet. I'm not gonna give his name. But he used to say before Ramadan, a few days before Ramadan, I'm gonna give the poetry in Arabic, then I'll give the translation. He would say, إِذَا الْعِشْرُونَ مِنْ شَعْبَانَ وَلَّتْ فَوَاصِلْ شُرْبَ لَيْلِكَ بِالنَّهَارِ وَلَا تَشْرَبْ بِأَقْدَاحٍ صِغَارٍ فَإِنَّ الْوَقْتَ ضَاقَ عَنِ الصِّغَارِ. He was saying basically, he's talking to all the junkies and all the drunkards with him. When the last 10 days of Sha'ban come, keep drinking alcohol by day and night. And don't drink in small cups, because there is no time for the small cups. Drink in big cups. Why? Because Ramadan will come after and everything will be forgiven. The same mentality. Also, in Ramadan, some people are very wasteful. Okay. They make more than they can eat. And you know that in Ramadan, some people don't like to eat the leftovers, okay? So every night, the remaining food will be thrown away. If you are gonna overcook or make more food than what you can eat, I really recommend you to remember your brothers and sisters in Somalia who are dying of hunger and thirst this year. So instead of wasting your food and drink and throwing stuff in the trash, save some money and send it to them. Okay? So share. Muslims are one brotherhood. إِنَّمَا الْمُسْلِمُونَ إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The wasteful are the brothers of the shaitan. So you shouldn't waste in the month of Ramadan. Oversleeping. This guy is in bed with the shaitan. So the shaitan will always come to you before salah, especially salatul fajr, and will say, bro, you know, you are waking up very early for fajr, okay? It is true that the adhan was made like 2 minutes ago, but in Masjid al-Rashid, they make iqamah 20 minutes after adhan. And you live 2 blocks away, okay? So sleep for now, and inshallah, I promise you, Allah, I give you my word, I'm gonna wake you up in another 10 minutes. The next thing is, you wake up right before dhuhr, right? It happens all the time. And wallahi, sometimes, this is, correct me if I'm wrong, it happens. And it happened to me before. Sometimes, especially before exams, sometimes, I had some sleepless nights, sometimes before Ramadan, because of anxiety and what have you. And wallahi, sometimes, you just think, if you just start to think about making dhikr, or remember Allah, or when the adhan is made, and you just think about standing up to pray, this is what happens. I don't know why, but it happened to me several times. So, if you are not able to sleep, just think about standing up and praying 2 rak'ahs at night, or saying dhikr. Wallahi, you will sleep right away. It's better than sleeping pills. Pills, not bills. Laziness. Now this guy looks like Hitler. Yeah, actually, he didn't have a mustache. I put a mustache for him. So in Ramadan, people get very lazy. And the reason is they have been eating all night long. They're wasting their time staying up all night doing trivialities. So they sleep. They become so lazy. Also, as soon as the adhan is made for Maghrib, people start eating and they stuff their stomachs with food, and they are not able even to stand up in salah. They fall asleep, right? And when they come to the Taraweeh, they snore behind the imam. And I hear the people behind me in the salah snoring all the time. And you see people not praying, they are sitting against the wall and they are falling asleep because they have a big, you know, they filled their stomach with a lot of food. They can't basically breathe. You know that يعني بعض الغزوات, some of the battles of the Prophet ﷺ in Badr and the conquest of Mecca, they were made when in Ramadan the Muslims were fasting, right? So there is no reason for you not to to be active in Ramadan. Lack of knowledge, and this is very funny. How can you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get close to Him if you don't have the proper knowledge? And I'm not telling you to be a scholar or get a PhD degree on how to fast. No, just know the basics. Just know the basics. Wallah, if you give 5 minutes every month to learning about Islam and the basics of Islam, you will have a lot of knowledge. I'll give you a few examples. For example, about 2 years ago, there was this new Muslim sister in South Carolina, in the US. And she had been Muslim for one whole year. And one day she came to me and she said, I read somewhere in a book, or someone told her, that as soon as you wake up, of course, you sleep at night in Ramadan, when you wake up, you will take the suhoor, a pre-dawn meal, and then you pray fajr, then you continue the fast. And she said she always woke up at 8 in the morning, like 2-3 hours after sunrise, and she ate, and she prayed fajr, and she started fasting. She thought that you get this meal as soon as you wake up in the morning, regardless of what time you wake up. If you wake up at 11 in the morning, this is when you eat the suhoor, then you continue the fast. So she fasted for 30 days this way. Does she get the reward for her fasting? The answer is yes. In Islam, if you do something by mistake or out of ignorance, inshallah, as the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, you will be forgiven. رُفِعَ الْأُمَّةِ الْخَطَأْ وَالنِّسْيَانِ Another example, some people, and this I've heard this in many situations, some people, they think, if you eat or drink by mistake in Ramadan, your fast is not valid, then you should make up the day after Ramadan. But this is not true. The Prophet ﷺ, as we mentioned earlier, says in the hadith, if someone eats or drinks by mistake in Ramadan, they should continue and the fast is valid, because it is Allah who gave them to eat and drink. There was an idiot, this guy was not practicing, then he started to practice and he used to make this dua, and I think I heard the story or I read it somewhere. So this person, when he started to practice, يعني كان غير ملتزم وبعدين ابتزم. So he used to say in his dua after he became ملتزم, like he started to practice, Oh Allah, forgive all my past sins, those of which you know and those of which you don't know. يعني اغفر لي من ذنوبي ما علمت منها وما لم تعلم. He thought that Allah only knew the sins that he committed openly or during the day. And Allah didn't know the sins that he committed at night or in secrecy. Another example, kissing the green stone. All of us know about the black stone, right? So, one day, about 10 years ago, we were in Saudi Arabia doing the live translation, the subtitling for the Taraweeh prayers from Mecca. And we made Umrah. We're making Umrah. So if you have been there before, you know that people circle the Kaaba. And usually in the place where they have the black stone, you see a lot of crowd, a big crowd. So you can't go there very easily to touch it or kiss it, okay? So we were circling the Kaaba, and all of a sudden I didn't find my friend with me, okay? And I went there to the crowded place to look for him. Maybe he went to kiss the black stone. He was not there, okay? So I started to circle again, and I saw him kissing. You see the golden door of the Kaaba? And there is a green step below the golden door. And this guy, he jumped on the green step, and he was kissing it. And I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm kissing the black stone." I said, "You blind, it's green, it is not black, right?" So we used to joke after this, and I always asked him, "What color is the black stone?" And he always said, "Green." One brother, he told me that he met someone. You know the Masjid al-Haram, the Masjid itself? You have the Kaaba inside, but the Masjid itself, he said, wallahi, he met someone somewhere from Africa, okay? He was making tawaf around the Masjid al-Haram from the outside. It would take hours. Wallahi, he said that he didn't know. He thought that he should make tawaf from the outside, not from the inside. And I thought, didn't he, you know, wonder why no one was making tawaf with him? He was the only one. Yeah, weird. In another instance, one brother, he lived in Saudi Arabia for about 20 years. And he said one year he was making a tawaf around the Kaaba, and he heard this kid asking his mom, "Mom, why are people circling the Kaaba?" So his mother said, "Son, we are circling the Kaaba because the Prophet is buried inside." She told her son that we are circling the Kaaba, we're making tawaf because the Prophet is buried inside the Kaaba. But she didn't know any better, because she thought that the Kaaba is covered with black, maybe the Prophet is... She didn't know any better. You should try to get some knowledge. Try to get some knowledge, okay? It is not hard anymore. Okay, 500 years ago, if someone didn't know something, maybe they had an excuse. But now you have full encyclopedias under your fingertips, right? The computer and the internet. It's very easy. You can just call the imam up. You wake the imam up, like 3 in the morning. Do the shayateen, do they lay eggs or they give birth? Okay? Are they any gay shayateen? Yeah, it's a valid question, right? And these are some of the questions I get. Yeah, I made the second one up. It's not a question. So there's no excuse. If you don't have access to the internet, you have books. If you can't read, ask the imam. Ask someone who has knowledge, okay? في بعض الناس وأحد الإخوة سأل كان يظن إنه بعد الجماع مع زوجته يغتسل فقط إذا أنزل فإذا لم يحصل إنزال كان يظن إنه لا غسل عليه. تخيل صلى كام سنة with this in mind. He didn't know. طيب. Of course, the things that we start to do in Ramadan, like fasting and the charity and reading Quran and Salah and all that stuff, what is the problem if you keep doing the same thing after Ramadan? You don't have to go full blast after Ramadan, but you still can do some things after Ramadan. What is wrong if you fast like every 3 months, you fast a Monday or a Thursday like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What is wrong after Ramadan, like if you give 10 bucks in charity? What is wrong if you pray an extra rak'ah or a couple of rak'ahs at night? You should keep up the good work that you started in Ramadan. Because the God of Ramadan is the God of all months. All of us, we should fire shaitan from our lives. If you fire shaitan, he will be looking for a job somewhere else. He will leave you alone. But the problem is, we hire the shaitan. Actually, we hire shayateen to work for us. They work for us 24/7. They work for us weekends. They work for us holidays, overtime. We are the ones that hire the shayateen. And at the end of the day, as the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, that Allah says, Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum uhsiha alaykum. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا يعني في صحائف أعماله يوم القيامة فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. The Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith that Allah says, O my servants, on the day of judgment, what you will see in your records of deeds is nothing, nothing except the things that you do in this life. The angels or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not going to add something that you didn't do. And if you do a good deed, they're not going to throw it out. So everything that you do, you will find it there, precisely. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you find good in your deeds, in the records of deeds, then thank Allah for making it easy for you. But if you find otherwise, if it is full of evil deeds, then the only one to blame is who?
Yourself.
Don't blame anyone else. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our good deeds and to forgive our sins. And inshallah, we open the door for questions and answers until the time of Maghrib, inshallah. Questions? We get one question from a brother and one question from a sister. We get from the brother.
Siwak.
Yes.
Is it the fast of Ramadan or
no? No, siwak does not invalidate the fast. If you brush your teeth with the siwak, the toothstick, or even with the toothbrush, it doesn't invalidate the fast. As long as nothing goes to your throat, the fast is valid. However, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us in the hadith, لَخَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. The smelling of your mouth in Ramadan is better in the sight of Allah than musk. However, if it gets so ugly, if it works like a deterrent, the people are running away from you because you smell like a dragon, yeah, you should brush your teeth. It's okay. Yes, sister.
Yeah, some of the girls when you're talking about i'tikaf, lots of girls don't understand what that means. Can you be able to explain what it means?
Yes, i'tikaf is in English translated to retreat or seclusion. You come to the masjid for the sole reason of praying and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dedicating some time to worship in the masjid. This is i'tikaf. Okay, so you sit in the masjid, you do everything that is permissible or that is an act of worship. Permissible like studying. For example, if you have exams after Ramadan, you sit in the masjid with the intention of i'tikaf and you study. You still get the reward for i'tikaf. As long as you are not doing anything haram. Because there is no point if you sit in the masjid to backbite someone. He has a big mouth. He has a big nose. Wallah, if you think about yourself and all the problems you have, then you will have no time to think about other people. So you spend your time in the masjid to read the Quran, you pray, you remember Allah. This is i'tikaf. Yes, bro.
Breaking fast with smoke.
Smoking in Ramadan? During the day or night?
After.
With the smoke. Yeah, it's a very good question. Okay. During the day, smoking invalidates the fast. I'm getting to your point. But some people think that smoking is not food or drink. So it shouldn't invalidate the fast. We tell them, if Allah tells you in the Quran not to eat and not to drink, which is halal or permissible outside Ramadan, what about doing something in Ramadan that is haram all year long? Come on, guys. And I'm not talking about weed or marijuana or dope or all that stuff, okay? Got joints on you? No? Type. However, smoking at night is not the best thing to do. And you should take Ramadan as a way of trying to turn a new page with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to quit in the month of Ramadan. Smoking is haram because it destroys your health, it destroys your money. So if you see me, for example, lighting $100, setting it on fire, you'll call me nuts, psycho, zombie, right? So what if I'm setting the $100 on fire and I'm using it to set my clothes on fire? So you are destroying your money, you are destroying your health. However, if you do it at the night of Ramadan, then it is something that should be frowned upon. It is something that you should do. Whether or not, it doesn't invalidate the fast, okay? Because you smoke at night. But it may detract or diminish from the reward of the fast. Because it contradicts the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should try to quit in the month of Ramadan. Allahumma sallam. Yes, sir.
I was just asked a question. What if a person cannot fast? What do they have to do? They want to understand what do they have to do. If they can't fast the month of Ramadan, what do they do then?
Okay. It depends on the reason why someone is not fasting. For example, if a lady is having a monthly period, or she just gave birth to a baby, then she should she should eat and drink in Ramadan, she should break the fast, and she should make up the days after Ramadan. And she doesn't have to fast all the days like one shot. She can fast Mondays and Thursdays. Okay? She can spread out the fast of the 30 days throughout the 11 months of the year. If a lady is pregnant or she is nursing, then it is permissible for her to eat and break the fast in Ramadan. She doesn't have to, but it is permissible for her. Then after Ramadan, two options. Either to feed a poor person for every day, or making up the days again. So the two options are there.
But what if they're sick and they can't fast?
Yeah, I'm getting to this point. I'm giving you the different reasons why some people may break the fast. If someone is sick, there are two types of sickness. If someone has swine flu, or someone has a fever, just for a few days, if they take the shots, they will be fine, okay? In this case, they should make up the days after Ramadan. But if someone is chronically sick, if they fast, they will die. Someone has is diabetic, okay? They have to take insulin injections all the time. Or somebody has cancer. They have to take medication all the time, and the doctor told them that there's probably no chances of recovery. So in this case, they don't have to fast at all. To the end of their time, they don't have to fast. But they should feed a poor person for every day. They should buy food for a poor person, or pay them about $7 to $10 for every day to buy food. If someone is a traveler, then it is permissible for them to break the fast and make up the days after Ramadan. So these are the different reasons why some people can break the fast and make up the days after Ramadan. Yes?
So qiyam and i'tikaf are the same thing.
Okay, it's a very good question. The word qiyam in Arabic, the word qiyam, is a very general term. It means standing in prayer. This is the literal meaning. So this includes Shaf, what? And it includes Taraweeh, it includes Salat al-Tahajjud. So if you do any of these prayers, it is called Qiyam. Qiyam is a very general term. It covers all these types of prayer at night. Yes, you can pray any optional prayer like Taraweeh or Shaf or Watr or Tahajjud at home. You can pray in the Masjid. If you pray in the Masjid, you will get the reward of Jama'ah. But if you don't have time, or you live far away from the masjid, you want to pray in the house, then you will get the reward. If you pray with your family, tahajjud or taraweeh, inshallah you'll get the reward of jama'ah. It doesn't have to be in the masjid. It is recommended, but it is not an obligation. Yes, brother.
Do you
repeat
that to take
Okay. It's close to what we said. If you take medication, does it invalidate the fast? It's a very good question. The answer is, if you take medication, oral medication, like pills or syrup, if it goes through the throat and to the stomach, it invalidates the fast. But if you use the puffer, people who are asthmatic, it doesn't invalidate the fast because it doesn't go to your stomach, right? Ear drops, nose drops, eye drops don't invalidate the fast. Blood transfusion from or to does not invalidate the fast. Swine flu shots does not invalidate the fast. Insulin shots does not invalidate the fast. الحقنة الشرقية اسمها بالإنجليزي.
It's actually rectal injection. That's what we call it.
Yeah, this is what they call it. But what is the English word? Anima?
Suppository.
Huh?
Suppository.
Suppository.
Well, it's
No, no, no. الحقنة الشرقية. Yes. Anything that does not go to your throat does not invalidate the fast. Some people ask, can I use perfume during the day? It doesn't invalidate the fast because you don't usually drink perfume. No, shh, outside. Yeah, more, another question for a sister?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the other question would, they want to know if some natural thing, does it break the fast if you wear makeup? They want to know.
Okay. Salam alaikum. Wearing makeup in Ramadan does not invalidate the fast because, again, makeup is not food or drink. It's outside. Only the things that go inside your stomach invalidate the fast. However, doing something that is disliked, like makeup in public, will invalidate the fast. Okay? Plus, some makeup that people use, like nail polish, it prevents water from reaching your skin when you make wudu. And therefore, it makes your wudu and salah unacceptable. So you have to remove it. You have to remove it before you make wudu. And some, what do they call it? Kareem Asas base cream or cream. Some of it is oil based. And it prevents water from reaching your skin. So you have to clean it before you make wudu. However, Henna allows water to reach your skin. So henna is okay. If you have henna on your hands or feet, it's okay to make wudu over because it's okay. The water actually reaches the skin. Yes. Yes, bro.
This fasting for Ramadan is only for us people or about our pets. Our pets can be fasting too.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
I'm talking about the fasting the mask for Ramadan. In my bed, I'm fasting too. Like, I have it on. I say, because I'm fasting the mask for Ramadan, even my cat will not.
No, no, no. This fasting is only for humans, okay? And not for every human. Not every human has to fast. Children, they don't have to fast, but we train them, okay? Elderly, and the traveler, and the sick, and the pregnant, they don't have to fast, okay? Only healthy people are settling down, they fast. But as for animals, they don't have to fast, okay? No, when you are fasting, you should make your dog and cat happy. Give them food. Yeah, they don't have to suffer like you. Yes, sir. Throw up? Okay. If someone throws up unintentionally, anything that happens unintentionally during Ramadan does not invalidate the fast. Anything. Eating or drinking by mistake does not invalidate the fast. If someone has a wet dream in Ramadan, it doesn't invalidate the fast. Throwing up unintentionally does not invalidate the fast. And there is no disagreement whatsoever among scholars on this. It's a unanimous, يعني إجماع بين الفقهاء, because it's in an authentic hadith. And the Prophet ﷺ says, if someone throws up intentionally, like they stick their finger in their stomach and their throat and they throw up, it invalidates the fast. They have to make up the day after Ramadan. But if it happens unintentionally, then the fast is valid. Why would anyone throw up? And I came to learn, yesterday I was giving a talk to the sisters, and couple of sisters, they said there are some reasons why someone would stick his finger in his throat to throw up. Some people do it for psychological reasons, because of anxiety. It's a psychological problem, basically. And she, one of the sisters mentioned the name of Princess Diana. She had this problem. She always did it. It's a medical problem. And the other reason is,
eating so good.
Some people think when they have a stomach ache, that the easiest way to relieve the stomach ache is to throw up. And this is how people did it in the village. If they can't relieve the stomach ache, they throw up. They do it to throw up so they will be relieved. Yeah, sometimes it works, but it will invalidate your fast. Yeah, there's a question in the back. Yes. Yes. You are asking about if the shaitan is locked up in Ramadan, why some people do evil deeds, right? Is this a question? Okay. As I said, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for you to do the good because everyone around you is doing the same thing, right? If you see people fasting around you, you would be encouraged to fast. If you see people praying in the masjid, you will do the same. If you see people making taraweeh, you will do like them. It becomes easy. And this is a way of chaining your shaitan. And the other reason that we mentioned, according to Imam al-Qurtubi, he asked the exact same question. If the shayateen, the devils are chained in Ramadan, how come that crimes are committed in Ramadan? Like people steal, they lie, they kill, and so on and so forth. And the answer is the meaning, the Prophet ﷺ was talking metaphorically. And the Prophet ﷺ meant that it is you who chain your shaitan or you set it free. If you fast the right way, this is chaining of the shaitan. But if you follow your desires, and you fast like you spend the whole day sleeping and you do evil things at night, then you are setting your shaitan free. Your shaitan will be all over the place. So you basically have the key in your hand. So it's up to you to lock it up or you set it free. So it is you who sets it free or releases it. Yes?
How about in the nafs al-ammar al-su? So the nafs
that's in al-ammar al-su. The lower self, as mentioned in the shaitan, in the Quran, will always motivate you to do evil. Right? But if you have this sense of taqwa in your heart, this will help you overcome your lower self and your desires. Yes?
You see, you said that before the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when he has never specified a word, reward for siyah, right?
Yes.
But then you mentioned about how all your past deeds are risky fasting.
But remember, this is only one of the rewards. It's not the whole thing. This is just one out of so many. But again, as I said, you are in this constant struggle against your lower desires. When you give in charity, the shaitan will always tell you, man, you'll go broke. Are you crazy? You're giving out your money? Your kids will be homeless. You'll not be able to pay your bills. But if you go ahead and pay in charity and give zakat, this is called jihad in Islam. If you wake up at Fajr to pray and it is very cold in the outside in the winter, or you didn't get enough sleep at night in the summer, this is called jihad. Jihad against your lower desires, according to the definition of jihad, according to the Sahaba of the Prophet. So if you stop doing something evil, or if you motivate yourself to do something good, this is called jihad in Islam. So I think it's almost time for Maghrib. Yes, one last question. Okay, bleeding does not invalidate the fast. And we said that blood transfusion, naqlul dam, does not invalidate the fast. Bleeding, even some of the scholars say, bleeding does not invalidate the prayer itself. It doesn't invalidate the wudu. Because some of the companions of the Prophet, they were bleeding, and they continued the salah. And Umar ibn Khattab, if you know the story, before his death, he was bleeding, and he continued the salah. So bleeding does not invalidate the fasting, it does not invalidate the wudu. Of course, when it comes to the wudu, there is a difference of opinion, but the action of the Sahaba confirms that it doesn't invalidate the wudu. And this is the chosen opinion. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us beneficent knowledge and to give us the power and the strength to fast in the month of Ramadan and to accept all our good deeds, the fasting, the charity, the tarawih, according to the best of our intentions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.